Brethren Church at King Road and Clearbrook Road in Abbotsford. You head out the number one highway, you turn right on Clearbrook Road, head south to King Road, which is 32nd Avenue, I believe, and the church will be there 2 o'clock. Now, if you would like a ride, there is a sign-up sheet at the back for those who would like a ride to go to the Siglinda Jansen funeral Wednesday at 2 o'clock. We have the last announcement today for the Lighthouse Harbor Ministries breakfast, and it will be this coming Saturday at Bethany Baptist Church, 8:30 in the morning. Tickets from Gary Thomas. We are planning to decorate the chapel on Wednesday. If you have any greenery branches, fir, cedar, holly, cypress, etc., and could help, bring them along either today, this evening, or Tuesday, and the decoration will be on Wednesday. If you have any questions, check with Marilyn Asavian. The ladies are planning a Christmas lunch. It will be Saturday, December the 12th, here at the chapel, 12 noon. Doreen Kvik will be bringing a Christmas meditation at that time. There's a sign-up sheet, again, on the table at the back for making sure that there's going to be enough food for all the ladies who will be coming along. And I think the only other announcement that I should have mentioned is that on Tuesday evening, the speaker will be Eric Peterson. And I think those are all of the announcements, unless someone else has some additions for us. Ron, welcome. Lord bless you.
Well, it's great to be back in beautiful British Columbia. I'll mention why in a few seconds, but and it's great to be here. I always enjoy coming to 16th. I feel at home. I feel I'm part of the family here, and I trust and I believe that God has given me a message for each and every one of us. As you can see on the screen, on the wall, I feel welcomed. And I know each of you feel welcome day or night at the chapel. Now, today, we're going to be talking about a subject very interesting, but why I say I'm glad to be back, I've been in Australia. Yes, I was down under there for 2 weeks, had a wonderful time. All my life, I wanted to see some kangaroos and some of these bears and Orchid Hall, what do you call it again? Kiwanis. Yes, Kiwanis, that's right. Anyway, had a great time, but that's not what I'm here to talk about that. Mind you, I could show you 100 slides I took, but we won't go there right now. What we're going to do today, we're going to be spending the whole day in chapter 10 of Hebrews. So would you turn with me in your Bibles, follow along in your Bibles, because this is where we're going to get the most out of it. And the pulpit or the pew Bibles, it's page 1179. If you didn't bring your Bible, or your iPad or your iPhone or your digital Bible, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to see what God has for us. There's some great thoughts here in Hebrews chapter 10. We all got it? Now, the reason I've come here this morning is to try to understand Jesus' sacrifice as an infinite provision of humanity's sin and as the foundation of the believer's joy in the Christian life. Now, that sounds pretty difficult. I did that purposely, though, because what we really break it down to, we're going to talk about my best friend. And excuse the English, but it ain't no problem for me. For you ESL teachers, sorry, it isn't. it isn't. But they have to learn idiom. But anyway, we're going to talk about Jesus, and we're going to talk about sacrifice. We're talking about the infinite provision of Jesus today. We're going to talk about humanity, the sin. We're going to talk about the foundation of our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about our joy. And if you aren't joyful this morning, there's something wrong. You should be the happiest person in the world. I certainly am. A pesar de, in spite of this, that, and the other things, problem in our life, it might be cancer, it might be a death of a loved one, it might be a problem in finances and in your family life. In spite of all those, you and I should be the most joyful people in this world because we have Jesus. And that makes a big difference. And we're going to look at that as we'll find in Hebrews chapter 10. And then, of course, we're going to talk about the Christian life together. So let's see what God has in store for us, because it should be very, very interesting, I'm sure. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 says, "For by one's offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." This, I believe, is the key verse. And we're going to be talking about sanctification. Now, this whole year I've been spending with you and other assemblies in Hebrews. I've gone from Hebrews chapter 1, and I've got about 18 or 19 different messages on Hebrews, and this is just one that I prepared for this morning. But we've been talking about the sacrifice. We've been talking about the offering. In some of the assemblies, I've had a big model here of the tabernacle, and I've been speaking on the tabernacle in some of the other assemblies. And when I come to Hebrews, it's really the tabernacle in the New Testament. But this verse, "For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." And we're going to be talking about sanctification. It sounds like a big word. It sounds like a complicated word, but it really isn't. It really isn't. We're a work in progress. I just learned that word recently as I was preparing this message, thinking about someone said to me about that we are a work in progress, sanctified. It's working toward, and we're going to see that. But we are justified once and for all because of Jesus' blood on the cross. But we are being sanctified. Notice the word. Those who are being sanctified. Work in progress. Very interesting thought there. Then as we go on here, we see also that God's acceptance of the blood of animals redirected his anger from the sinner to the sacrifice. By faith and obedience, the sinners experience cleansing from sin, pardoning, and restoration to fellowship. What we're seeing here, all through the Old Testament, we're going to find this especially in chapter 10, all through the Old Testament, as we even heard this morning about the sacrifice, they would bring an animal right from Mount Sinai up to all during the whole Old Testament, animal would be sacrificed in the place of a person. In Israel, and the priests would present the animal to God in the place of a person. The person would come to the tabernacle, and he'd come through the gate, the door. He'd come in, and there would be a big altar there, and the bronze altar, and priest would put his hands on the animal. He would, and the person who brought the animal would cut his throat. They would collect the blood and they would sprinkle it, as you can see on the picture there, on the altar. Now, we don't understand that. I don't understand that fully, but I certainly see it in the New Testament. I see it in Hebrews here also, that Jesus Christ always will be the Lamb of God. And John the Baptist, when he was baptizing in the Jordan and he saw Jesus come, and he said, "Voici, voici, here is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is that lamb. And we're going to see it over and over in Hebrews and even here in Hebrews chapter 10. The sacrifice in the Old Testament was temporary. And it cleansed and removed the guilt and the punishment according to the old law. But it was temporary. And that's why they had to do it year after year after year after year, because it wasn't the final solution. Jesus was and is the final solution. And we're going to see that this as we come into this whole idea. Now, Moses, when he presented the law, and we are all, we inherit a guiltiness inside of us. Even if we don't have Christ, there is a conscience. And in the Old Testament, the law was presented to help people to try to ease their conscience. And it's, but like today, for instance, we have what is called the Golden Rule. And I got a little joke here for you. Okay, I don't know what happened to that, but maybe I turned it off. I hope I didn't. But the Golden Rule, of course, one person says the Golden Rule is, what is the Golden Rule? Well, the Golden Rule, whoever has the gold makes the rules. No, that's not the Golden Rule. The Golden Rule is to do unto others you would do unto you. Now, ourselves personally, we try to keep those things so that we can attain peace with God. We think if we do this, that, the other thing, go here, go there, go to this meeting, go to that meeting, help that person, give blood, help that old lady cross the street, help. If we do all these things, we're going to be pleasing to God. Well, we're going to find in Hebrews that God doesn't want that. Those are things we should do. As I always say to people, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are saved for good works, but not by good works. And we're going to see that here in the book of Hebrews. And I hope that we can see this together. Now, one of the proofs offered in Hebrews chapter 10 is that Christ is superior to Judaism. Christianity is over and above. It's superior to Judaism. And that's exactly why, for instance, the sacrifices were given and the law was accomplished. Now, as I said, in chapter 10, it's a very doctrinal, it's the finish of the doctrinal, and it's more practical. See, religion today is do, and you can have peace with God. That's what religion is. But I'm telling you, the true, the Bible is, it's done. It's all been done. You don't have to do, because it's been done. And today, we can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to see that very, very clearly in chapter 10. God's word says, done. And I'm so glad of that. Now, we do, because it's been done. Now, you're going to say, that sounds kind of silly. But are you with me? I want to do this. I want to have a shovel in my car so when the snow comes and that person gets stuck, I can get out of the car, and even though it might hurt my back, I can help him get out of the snow. Why do I do that? Because it's been done. Jesus did it on the cross, and I want to be able to tell that person, I want to earn the right to tell that person that I'm doing this because I'm a Christian, born again, saved by grace. Now, I won't tell them that I'm pre-mill, pre-trib dispensationalist. I won't say any of that, but I'll certainly tell them about Jesus. How many people have you raked those leaves up that have fallen this fall, and they might have a heart attack, but you do that so you can win the right to tell them about Jesus. And as you put those leaves into a bag, if they haven't had a heart attack, because you're doing it free of charge, but you can tell them that you're doing this because you love God and God loves them, and he gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross so that they can have the joy and get rid of the guilt of sin. I mean, it's exciting to be a Christian. I was on a boat there, and there were so many Filipinos. You would have loved it there, sister. And as I was giving out Gideon Bibles, I even went up to the captain. I said, "Hi, Captain, how are you? I'm Ron Edgecombe." "Who's Ron Edgecombe?" I said, "I have a calendar for you." And I gave him a Gideon calendar. I said, "You know, in all your rooms here, in all the staterooms, there's Bibles. And this is a miniature of the Bibles that we..." Oh, and he took the calendar and he thanked me. The captain of a ship of 3,000, 4,000, I don't know how many thousand people on that ship. But I do that not to win favor with God. I do it because I have favor with God through Jesus Christ. And when you live that type of life, I can tell you it's very exciting. It's very exciting because it's all about Jesus and it's all about what he's done for us and we do for him. So first of all, in chapter 1, let's look at chapter 10, verse 1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the reality themselves. For this reason, it can never, 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 by the same sacrifice, repeatedly, endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who are drawn near to worship God. All those sacrifices in the Old Testament were a shadow of the ultimate sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ. It's just a shadow. Then they were under the law. It was all about doing and doing. But we are not under law. We're under another dispensation, which we're going to refer to as we carry on in this morning's sermon. The law of Moses and its sacrificial system could never bring men fully forgiveness of sin. It was temporary. And when that high priest once a year went into the holiest of holies, but he went there every year, after year, after year. And then when the tabernacle in the desert was replaced by the temple made by Solomon, the son of David, and there they did it again. But as we talked about the last sermon, you remember my last sermon? It was that curtain had been torn open. It's rent is the word they use. It was torn open from the top to the bottom. Now we can go into the holiest of holies. The door isn't shut. We can go into that door. We can go into with Jesus. We can go into the holiest of holies day after day, hour after hour. And someone doesn't have to do it for us. And that's what Hebrews is all about here. And that is so exciting when you really think of it. And then as we carry on there, we see in chapter 2, otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sin. But those sacrifices are an animal reminder of sin. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away our sins. But the blood of Jesus can. And when Jesus, God looks down on us, he doesn't see Ron Edgecombe. He sees this person covered in the blood of Christ. I'm accepted in the presence of God because I'm covered. I know that it sounds, we talk about blood and all that, and a lot of people don't like that. But that's what it's like. And that's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in the New Covenant, as we said before, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. The law of Moses has been accomplished. The law of Moses. Sacrifices repeated. The law of Moses, along with the Levitic priesthood and the endless sacrifice associated with it, is a shadow of good things to come. And he came. Jesus came. We're going to be celebrating that. It's wonderful. This is the best time of the year for me. No, I won't be happy when they start singing, "Here comes Santa Claus, here come..." No. But we can use this as a base to tell people the real meaning of Christmas. And I think there's going to be more freedom this year. It seems like it in some areas. And when we say Merry Christmas to somebody, we can tell them why we are merry about this Christmas season. Because Christ has paid it all. And we don't have to repeat the sacrifice. It's been done once and for all. During the Old Testament, the Old Covenant period, the sacrificial system which God provides reminded people of their sin every year. And every year they would feel guilty And then as the year goes on, they feel guiltier, good, boom. Then they'd have the sacrifice, they feel okay, but it was a sacrifice that would go on and on and on. The law of Moses. Jesus accomplished that law. And of course, we don't understand of it. And because the whole system then was different than what we have today. And what we find here, for instance, is in the Old Testament, the sprinkling of blood symbolizes covering their sins. And the priest would take the blood and they would sprinkle the blood. And again, we don't always understand that, but we can certainly understand it from how Jesus' blood was spilled for our sins. And that's like right here. We've had the symbols here, which is an illustration, a symbol of the blood of Christ that was spilled. Where in the Old Testament, as you can see from there, the blood was put on the horns of the altar. But that has been accomplished. That's finished, done with. But we can look back at that and appreciate that and see what God has in the Old Testament accomplished in the New Testament, which is so important. Yes, under the law, it was year after year after year. But you know, Jesus, our blessed Lord, ended that law. He accomplished that law. And that is so, so important. Christ is the end of the law. Now you're going to say, well, what good is the Ten Commandments? Why should we even think about the Ten Commandments? Well, I'll tell you right now, I love the Ten Commandments because it helps me to you want to advance that, please? Here it comes. Christ is the end of the law. But we have that to help us. Now, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I go there? Should I go there? Yes, we can use the law as a measuring stick, as a ruler. And I appreciate the law. I try to keep the law. Unfortunately, I don't. I'd love to. And why do I try to keep the law? Because it's been done. But this God has given us this as rules and regulations. And we don't like rules and regulations today. But I like them because I need guidelines, because I'm a wheeler and a dealer and I'm a shaker and a baker and I go here and I go there and I jump there. And I need some time. And I say, well, Lord, really, what should I do? Help me, Lord. Guide me, Lord. Should I buy that? Should I go there? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I accept this? Should I not accept that? And God uses the Old Testament for us today. That's why I encourage people to look at it. Because, you know, it says here, the word remembrance includes more than the memory of doing wrong. It's the whole sense of guilt and the weight of our conscience. See, with Jesus, you can have the peace with God and the peace of God. And that is the exciting thing, as we see here in Hebrews chapter 10. We can have the peace with God. Look at verse 4. It says, verse 4. Because of it is impossible for the blood of goats and bulls to take away our sins. It's impossible. Jesus has done that. Before, when Jesus came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With the burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, here am I. It is written of me in the scrolls. I have come to do your will, O God. Jesus did the will. He fulfilled the law. He paid the penalty. When Christ's final sacrifice on the cross, the covenant of the law was finished. And we became into a new dispensation. Now, I'm not going to try to teach on dispensational truths because I'm sure you know about it, but this is a good illustration here. At the Mount of Sinai, humanity was under the law. The law was presented, the Ten Commandments. Do this and live. But see, that has been accomplished. Jesus accomplished that. That's what we find. The law has been changed to grace. Jesus has taken and been and is and always will be the sacrifice instead of the animals for you and I. He died instead of you and me dying. He suffered instead of you and me suffering. We should have suffered. He didn't do anything. He was sinless. He was spotless. He was the perfect lamb. You know, I just came back, as I said, from New Zealand. And I saw so many sheep. And when I looked at those sheep, I thought of the Lamb of God. It was phenomenal. We went to a sheep farm, and I looked at the sheep, and I think some things you can point to a lamb as the Lamb of God, but there's some other things you can't. But just that the way the lamb is perfect Lamb of God. No blemishes, no sickness, no. The priest would actually check it out, you know. When I came, you would come to the priest in the Old Testament with your lamb or your animal and present it to the priest. The priest would look on his ears. He might even look at his teeth. I don't know. But it had to be perfect. Just like God wants us to present ourselves, as we heard already this morning so beautifully. God wants us to present. That's our sacrifice to His. God's sacrifice to us was Jesus. Our sacrifice to His is us, our whole being, our whole body. So we are under grace, not under law. And that is so important also. And as we read on, we find also that He's the incarnate one. He's the perfect one. He's the Son of God. And what it says here is exactly that, because He presents to us Psalm 40. Notice what it says of Psalm 40, verse 6 and 8. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. And then as we read the next verse, and He is quoting this in chapter 10. Then I said, here am I, have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. Now that is a direct quotation from the Old Testament. See, right there in the Bible, that's what we read this morning. In Hebrews chapter 10, this is an Old Testament psalm. And that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews says here. Then I said, here am I, have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my Father, my God. Your law is within my heart. So Jesus has come to do that. That's why He came, and that's what He did. It's all about Him. It's all about what He did on the cross once and for all. It's a done deal. Sounds very crude, that terminology, but it is a done deal. Jesus did it. It's finished with. All we have to do is trust and obey. All we have to do is carry on how He shows us to live in the Word of God. That's why we have the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 5 to 7, God was displeased with the way His people had offered their sacrifices. For they were insincere. That's what He's talking about in Hebrews chapter 11, chapter 10, verses 5 to 7. He's displeased. Then I said, and first He said, look in verse 8. First I said, sacrifice and offering, burnt offering, sin offering, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then He said, here am I, I have come to do your will. Are we doing the will of the Father as Jesus did the will of the Father? Jesus came and He said, I have not come to do my will, I have come to do the will of the Father. Whose will are we doing? Am I doing my own will? We as Christians that come Sunday after Sunday, the Lord's Supper, we love the Lord. Yes, we do. But are we doing His will? That's what it's the challenge we have in chapter 10 here. Jesus came, I have come to do your will. And this is a direct quotation from the Old Testament psalm. And you know, as we read on here, if you notice in verse 13, this is very interesting when you have chance to read, look it through tomorrow or tonight. Since that time, He waited for His enemies to make His footstool. Let me read that again. I'm sorry. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, He sat down on the right hand of God, so that since that time He waits for His enemies to be made His footstool. Now, what is the writer talking about here? It is so interesting when you have time to study it, because in the Old Testament, what they did, a conqueror would take the enemy and they'd lay him down, they'd put his foot on their neck. And that would show him that he was the... And as you see from these drawings, that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. And that's going to happen. We find it in Genesis about when Jesus Christ has crushed the devil and he's coming again. Isn't that interesting, though, when you read that, verse 13, I find that he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made a perfect forever those who are being made holy, being made sanctified, work in progress. Some are slower than others. Some are faster than others. But we have to help one another. We have to encourage one another. We have to stimulate one another, because we're working towards that. No, we're not working for our salvation. It's done. But Jesus is your sanctification. He's sanctifying us. He's making us more like him. That's why sometimes I believe we have, we call him a proevis. That means we have testings, trials, discouragements, problems. That's to make us more like him. He went through it all for you and I. And then from justification, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are being sanctified. And then that wonderful day we're all looking forward to, we're going to be like him, we're going to be with him, and it will be glorified. And that's that day that we're all looking forward to, I'm sure. Well, time is going on here, but this truth, the truth is the Word of God. Now, the important thing here, it is the work of the Spirit. In our lives, it's not me working, it's not Ron Edgecombe, it's not George or Peter, Sally or Sandra. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. This is the truth that we get in Hebrews here. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's applying the Word of God to your life. That's what we have to do. We allow the Spirit to work through us. We read the Word of God. We study the Word of God. And what happens? It's the daily lives of the believer. And this is being sanctified so that they experience incredibly greater purification from the defilement of sin. One day we're going to be with him and there'll be no sin there. Won't that be wonderful? Won't that be one? I'm looking forward to it. I really am. And it's all because of his sacrifice in chapter 10 of Hebrews. It's the blood. It's the covenant. It's the Mosaic law has been changed for the new covenant, the old for the new. And Jesus has done it. It's the blood. It's Jesus accomplishing what we have. And we find that in verse 17 here. Then he added, their sins and lawlessness acts, I will remember no more. He will remember them no more because we are covered in the blood of Christ and he took our place on the cross. And that's why we had the Lord's Supper. His body was broken. Not our body. Our body should have been broken, but it was his body. And as we go through this, Hebrews chapter 10, it's Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant. It's the law to grace. Old Testament, New Testament. He accomplished it. And we find that exactly here in the Word of God. And it's all about him. And that's what I'm trying to get across. God will help us. God will serve us. Now, how can we put this in just a couple of words to close off this morning? How can we be more like him? What does this chapter say? Because later on this morning, we're going to be talking about verses 19 to 33. But notice what it says, and there will be, and where there have been forgiveness, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin. He has covered that. So what we have to do, you and I have to do, to be more like him, as it says here, we have to pray. Praying is so important. And that's one thing that God wants us to do. And we can talk to him through prayer. And he talks to us through the Word of God. So this is how we demonstrate our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's sacrifice, we thank him, we praise him, we adore him. And we can't say that enough. So praying will help you become more like him. He prayed. We got to praise him. we've got to just pray and we've got to praise him. And then, of course, I think it's very important that sometimes we don't talk about, and we have to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Invite people to the upcoming concerts and choirs and Christmas dinners and so on. Invite them. Share the gospel with others. That's what he's saying here in chapter 10, because it's been done. I trust this will encourage you to pray more, to praise him more, and to share the good news to others. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the few minutes we had in chapter 10, verses 1 to 18. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that the sacrifice has been accomplished, that Jesus has taken our place. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, in the next meeting, as we look at verses 19 to the end, Lord, that people that come might hear the good news that Jesus Christ has arranged everything. And it's all ready. It's been set. All they have to do is put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the people here this morning. We thank you that they have trusted you, that they have put their faith in you. And we pray, Heavenly Father, they might pray and praise and serve the Lord more and appreciate more and more that we are saved not by works, but for good works. We ask this, giving you thanks for the refreshments downstairs in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.